welcome to episode 12 of the Fuel Your Photos podcast with Dylan and Corey. Today we're going to talk a little bit about ranking in multiple locations. There's two main scenarios we're going to talk about, and that might be you're already doing well in your main location and you want to branch out and kind of rank into some other markets. And the other would be that you're moving your business. A lot of people get situated in one town and they're doing great, and then something happens in life where they have to change markets, and they're freaking out because they're trying to game plan how they're going to rank and not lose all their business. So yeah, that's the discussion for today.
Awesome. Yeah, this is a really popular question we get all the time. So I'm excited to do this. I'm excited to be back podcasting. It's been a while.
It's been a little too long. How long
has it been? Like a month since our last episode?
Yeah, I don't want to look.
Maybe more. Don't look. Yeah, it's weird because Dylan and I live 3 hours apart. I'm on the East Coast. He's on the West Coast. And so right now it's very hot where I live and very humid. And my office has a very loud air conditioner. So on the days when it's really hot, it's very hard for us to record without having that really bad background noise. But today, we have an amazing day. I've got my door open. You might hear some birds or some cars going by. But we're going to do this, and we're going to figure out a way. We're going to make this more regular again, right?
Awesome. For sure. We have to. Yep.
All right. Let's jump into it.
Cool.
So what should we start with first? Let's start with, I guess, the first thing you mentioned there, where people want to rank for multiple locations. And this really applies. I mean, like in general, I want to say, stop being greedy. Don't do that. Just, you know, rank for the one area that's closest to you. And we'll probably talk some more about that. That's still going to be my opinion in a lot of cases. However, it's fair to want to rank in multiple locations for certain types of photographers, like elopement photographers, even just wedding photographers who frequently travel. Maybe they don't even want to attract weddings in the area where they live, and they want to have multiple locations that they can pull from that are maybe only an hour drive or something like that. It's very common for wedding and elopement photographers, and some other photographers do the same thing. So we'll talk about some things that you might want to think about there. So what are your initial thoughts on people who say, hey, I serve multiple locations and I want to rank for all of them?
Yeah. The biggest thought is that you're going to have to look for opportunities that have lower competition. I think that the number one issue that you're going to run into is trying to rank in a market where there are other photographers that are authoritative in that market, that have an address in that market, that have a Google My Business in that market, that are also targeting that area. And so if you're in LA and you have great reviews and all these local links and you're really established there and you're trying to rank for New York, and you're going up against people that live in New York and have an address like right downtown and all this stuff, it's not going to happen. And so you're really going to have to look for different queries or different locations that don't have established photographers targeting them in the same way. And that's hard. It's quite difficult, but it's doable. An example that I think we use far too often on this podcast is, for me, Big Sur or Yosemite. The reason I'm able to rank for those two markets from Portland, Oregon, is because there really aren't photographers based in Yosemite. There's no, like, if you look at Yosemite on Google Maps, there's not some photographer at the top of Taft Point or whatever. Like, doesn't exist. And so I can kind of target that from afar and have better content and rank. And so that's kind of what you're going to have to look for, especially in the elopement field.
And I think that the fact that it's not a place where businesses are located, Google understands that and can change the type of results based on that, right? So you may not see a map pack whenever you search for Yosemite elopement photographer, something like that. You may, I don't know, it depends on where you're located. Maybe if you're right near there, but most often I would assume there's probably not a map pack there because Google's saying, hey, there's no real map results here. This is not an entity-based search where people are looking for like a business to visit.
Yep.
So the intent's going to change there. A good rule of thumb to kind of test for what Dylan was talking about with competition is you want to look in the multiple markets that you're trying to rank in and see, are other photographers using their homepage title to target that term specifically? If you see a lot of other photographers where their homepage title targets the term, it means that's their main keyword. Their business is really focused around that term. And it's like Dylan said, it's going to be hard to compete against that with an internal page on your site. So let's just say that people are like, well, I understand that, but I still want to try to do both. I've had some good examples of this. There's one guy I talked to last year who lived in the San Francisco Bay Area, but also had a partner in Portland or something along those lines, essentially. And they worked out of both markets regularly and wanted to try to rank in both markets. What would be your approach if that's still a case for you? Or like here in where I live, I'm in Columbia, South Carolina, but it's very common that you might want to try to rank in Charleston or in Greenville if you're a wedding photographer especially. But it's going to be hard because there's people in those markets who live in that market and only do that market. It's possible, though, to some extent at least, to the best of your ability, what strategies would you use to try to do that?
Yeah, it's going to be hard. I think that my first attempt would be an internal page for the secondary market, but that would be like a Hail Mary. Like it could work, but I don't think it will. After that, I would look heavily at either setting up a different brand for the other market or trying to keep the same brand and maybe having, I've never done this, but the franchise settings in Google My Business where you have multiple locations for one business.
So you have to have 7 locations to be able to activate that. As far as I've read, and okay. I found that in an official support document. I can't remember if it's 7 or not, but it's
definitely
it's more than 2 or 3.
Okay, so I wouldn't do that then.
Yeah,
And maybe that's why I've never done that.
Interesting. Yeah,
yeah. But I don't know. It's for me. I look at this problem, and every time I struggle with it to the extent that I just say nope. Just that's not what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And so I think it would be multiple brands, multiple websites, multiple Google My Businesses.
Man, that would be such a pain.
It really would, but it's hard. Like how do you think you would try to rank in like San Francisco and Portland?
Well, in that situation, when I was consulting with this guy, that was my advice. It's like, you should separate these brands and keep your one brand in the market in the Bay Area where you're already ranking, and mm-hmm. then use a completely separate site with a different name to try to rank in Portland.
Yeah.
He had set up 2 separate Google My Business listings with the same brand.
Yeah.
And Google let him do it.
Yep.
With different addresses. Sometimes they'll let you do that kind of thing, even though they don't want you to do that kind of thing.
For sure.
If they find it, and I believe he was having issues with suppression where yeah. Google was not showing either one in the markets because it was confused about where that business was actually located.
Yeah.
A big problem.
My other thought is to give up on the head terms completely and not try to rank for like San Francisco wedding photographer and Portland wedding photographer, but to pick one of those markets for the head term and then look for other keyword opportunities that have less competition that might drive more traffic. Like we always talk about, like maybe you rank in San Francisco, but you have a Portland wedding venues post.
Sure.
It's not going to be quite as relevant to the site, but I think you'd have a better chance ranking for that than ranking for Portland wedding photographer.
Yeah. I will say my thought is, and I'm sure we'll probably touch on this a little bit more in this episode, but the real differentiator or thing that makes this possible is if you have major brand authority or personal authority or backlink authority, like whatever metrics Google is using to determine authority here. I have seen cases, and generally when I see it, it is a large multi-photographer studio who's been around for a decade or more and has done thousands of weddings, not just, 100 or 200, but they've got enough brand and name recognition in multiple nearby markets that they can rank in both. You'll even see this with like in the US, have you seen a George Street photo showing up everywhere?
Yeah.
And they're like a corporate national company, but same idea kind of applies here. You can start to rank in multiple markets whenever you're big enough that you've done hundreds of weddings in different markets, right? In that scenario, maybe you're able to start ranking for all of those. If you have tons of backlinks and you know, let's say you have 500 referring domains and like in both the markets you're trying to rank for, the highest competitor has like 150. In those scenarios, maybe you're going to be able to, you could even use your homepage title and be like Columbia and Charleston wedding photographer. At that point, it almost doesn't even matter anymore. You can kind of just use that authority. That won't always work, but I've seen it work.
Yes. So definitely agree.
But that's not like a short-term SEO strategy, right? No. That's a long-term business strategy. That's something where you have to actually work to dominate multiple markets. And I think that's the thing I'm always come back to is like, do you actually deserve to be on the first page for all of these markets? And in some cases, probably like less than 5% of cases where people ask me about this, I would say the answer is yes, they actually do deserve to be in all of those markets on the first page. But for most people, it's going to be, well, probably not. There's probably at least 10 or 15 other photographers in that area who are a better result for that term. And so why would I try to get like trick Google into getting me on the first page? People do it. I mean, it can happen, but that wouldn't be my goal. Yep.
Cool. Should we talk a little bit more just about specifically elopement market and kind of how they're all nomads?
Yeah. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. So I think another question that we get quite often is that a lot of the elopement market, either you're based in a place that elopements aren't super popular in, or a lot of people are like trying to do van life and they don't have a home base. And so they're like, hey, I live in the West and I shoot in these 14 different national parks. What should I do? I think it's similar to the strategies we talked about above. I think you really need to be concentrating on internal pages for these main locations, creating maybe a hub for them that ranks for just like West Coast elopement, or I don't know. There's not going to be really any broad terms there, but like the just kind of, it allows you as a place to like drive links to that hub. You need to be working on link building to the specific spokes to each different location you want to rank for. You're probably not going to be doing much with your homepage because nobody searches for just like traveling van life elopement photographer that I know of. Maybe somebody does. I don't know.
You are seeing more kind of searches for things like adventure elopement photographer, or
it's definitely right. Increasing
things like that.
Yeah, for sure. And so that would probably be what you would target, where that term a year ago did not have enough volume to really justify the work, but now it might.
The only problem is you've got a brand like Adventure Instead, where the term adventure is in the brand. You'll never be able to outrank that.
For sure. Or you have like the Hearns that have been featured on every major news publication ever, and like so many different elopement photographers in that space that it's going to be a tough one to crack. Yeah.
Yep. So, I mean, I wouldn't make that a huge priority.
Exactly.
You could still target it because it helps Google understand like what the brand is about, mm-hmm. and make sure that the other topics on the site are kind of supported by the general idea that this is an adventure elopement site. But I wouldn't expect necessarily to get on the first page for that. Like that shouldn't necessarily be your main goal with SEO. Yeah.
What would you do for your Google My Business if you were completely like a traveling photographer? Would you try to get that address verified somewhere close to a popular spot? Would you not care at all about the location it's verified in? Would
That's a really good question.
Not want to have a location verified? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have to verify a location to get the
exact
listing, right? Yep. So I would either just use my home address or, you know, someone I know, and then just hide it and not worry about it too much.
Sure.
I mean, I guess it really depends. I would probably make a list of all of the locations that I wanted to try to rank for. And I would do searches for all of those, and I would see how many of them return map packs. Like we said earlier, Yosemite elopement photographer, probably not going to have a map pack. Portland elopement photographer probably is going to have a map pack. So, you know, if I made a list of 10 or 20 different locations that I wanted to rank for, and I saw that, you know, 5 or 6 of them have a map pack and the others don't, I'd probably pick one of those that did have a map pack and try to see if I could get my address verified in one of those.
Yeah.
I think that's probably what I would do.
Yeah.
If it's too much trouble and people don't want to like go through all of that, I would just use my home address or whatever. And then set it up as a service area, and it's not going to be super effective as far as getting into map packs, but
do you think
at least you'll have that for your brand, like branded search.
Yeah. Does it hurt anything? Like if your GMB is verified in Illinois and you're primarily trying to rank in Southern California, Arizona, Utah, do you think it hurts? Like, is there any ever an instance where you'd say like having a Google My Business is actually not the right idea for you?
It's a really good question, because I almost feel like as a service-based business, having that knowledge graph panel show up
with reviews
for branded search, with reviews, exactly. It's so important, even just for a branded search, because I think a lot of people are going to get a lot of branded search from referrals and from social traffic that's searching for them, things like that. I'd almost always want to have it, but I see exactly what you're saying, and it could be an issue if Google thinks that you're located in Illinois and you're trying to rank out in California. They're going to be like, wait, what's going on here? What? But I don't know. I feel like the relevance of the content is probably going to shine through there for the most part.
Yeah, totally.
I would certainly watch it and see. Yeah. I mean, if I felt stuck after a year or two, couldn't make any progress in that area, then I might say, what happens if I pull this completely?
Yeah, totally. That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
So the next topic is people that are having to move locations, like move markets completely. They're typically established in the market that they're moving from, and they want to maximize the benefits from that while as quickly as possible getting those rankings in the new market. What's your go-to strategy there?
Well, I think it's tough. What I've seen in this scenario in the past is that a lot of people who are moving have done SEO wrong in their first location anyway. Mm-hmm. And so it's really tricky to try to like keep or transfer your rankings to a new location whenever you kind of got your rankings in a way that doesn't work anymore. And you just kind of, they kind of stuck because you're already there. So like, I mean, if you have, you know, 50 or 60 blog posts that all have Columbia wedding photographer in the titles and stuff like that, because you've been doing it since, you know, 2008 or something, then well, you probably have more than 50 at that point. You don't want to just like go in and change all of those to, you know, a new location, Dallas wedding photographer now. Like that's not going to be effective. But you also don't want to leave them. You don't want to leave 50 blog posts that have Columbia wedding photographer in them, because in my opinion, the ratio is important here. So if there's 200 blog posts on your site, 150 of them are about, you know, weddings in Columbia, South Carolina, and you're trying to rank in Dallas, then that's a problem. That's too much content around an area that you're not targeting. So I think I would, the first step I would take is a giant content cull.
Yes.
I would just like try to do a reset. I would, you know, do the typical kind of content audit that we would recommend. That might even be a good podcast episode one day.
Yeah.
So visual though, it's hard, but anyway, maybe, you know, we're going to look through Search Console, see like what's actually driving traffic here, keep those pages, try to delete as much as I can that's not helping my site. And then I would say I would go into the new market and I would come up with my new targets, right? So I'm going to pick my primary head terms that I'm going to probably try to rank for with my homepage and any like sub specialty pages. And then I would come up with like five or six pieces of big content that would be likely to drive traffic. Go ahead and create those. Try to get that ratio more in line with what I would want. So even if I had 200 blog posts in Columbia, I may be deleting 150 of them. Like I would do something like that. Sure. I don't know that I always recommend that for everyone, but I know that for me, if I'm trying to establish new content in a new city, it's going to be hard. I mean, that means I've got to get more than 150 posts to get my ratios where I want them for the new city. It'd be easier for me to delete that down to 15 posts and then write 15 or 16 new ones, right? Then I'm back in the right kinds of ratios. I don't know how much that matters, but that's the kind of strategy I would be taking personally, I think.
I did the same when I moved from Boise to Portland. I did a content cull, not as thorough as I would now, but I definitely did pull a lot of older work out that wasn't ranking. And then I definitely found a lot of those exact issues you were talking about where I was targeting my head term in my blog post titles mm-hmm. because it was 2008.
Nothing to do. Yeah.
And I went a step further where I had some venues that I was ranking for that were very popular that were tied to Boise. And I pulled their venue name out of the post title and I changed things from like Shore Lodge Wedding to just Mountain Lake Wedding, stuff like
that. Yeah.
Just really generalized.
I mean, like that's a great way to keep the content on your site. But if it was driving, traffic for Shore Lodge Wedding, it's not going to anymore. Yeah. And so like, is that post even helpful for you? You probably could have just deleted it.
For sure. I think I wanted it for portfolio.
Exactly.
I could have known next to it. Yeah.
Right.
In fact, I recently, kind of as a test, but also just for fun, I that blog post is still live on my site and I renamed it back to Shore Lodge now that I'm in Portland and ranking fine here. And it's ranking better for Shore Lodge again. So we'll see. Yeah. I kind of want to take it over again and just see if I can from 800 miles away.
Yeah. But I think a lot of people are really like worried about their old market. They're like, I'll travel back here. I want to keep my client base mm-hmm. here. I've already worked so hard to establish this. I don't want to lose it. I want to keep my foot in this market and also start to dominate the new market.
Totally. No.
I don't think it's going to work very often.
Take it from experience that plane ride back to go back home like multiple times per month for a photo shoot gets real old real quick.
Yeah.
And really, honestly, it's going to do nothing but hurt your efforts to actually take over that new market. Like, if you're doing even 4 shoots a month in your old market, that's 4 less times that you could be doing shoots in your new market and making those connections and meeting new vendors and getting that referral base going. So I think you have to dive all into the new market if you plan on staying there long term.
What's the time frame you would say if you're planning on moving in a year? How far out would you start, like really ripping that Band-Aid?
For sure, I think it's going to be a different for wedding versus portraits. I think weddings, I would do it as soon as possible because people can book 6+ months in advance, and so it's going to take time for you to rank and get established. And maybe you do have to do some ads and other marketing to like get established quickly. But for SEO, I think that it needs to be at least 6 months in most competitive markets to really have any hope of ranking. The first few months, you're going to be non-existent. It's not something where you can change a homepage title and, I'm first in LA now. Cool. Like it takes actual time, authority, and effort.
That being said, I have seen people who, let's say you're a family photographer and let's say you're moving from like, you know, Atlanta. And let's say, just as an example, mm-hmm. that you do have significant authority. You've been featured in a lot of magazines, spoken in the industry, lots of things like that, lots of good links. And let's say you're moving to a city that's much smaller, but, you know, I'm trying to think of a good example. Maybe you're moving here to Columbia, South Carolina, you know, not that big of a, not anywhere thing like Atlanta, but you've already got the authority. There's not a huge amount of competition in this city. Like not very many people are doing great with their SEO for family photography here. Just changing your homepage title and updating Google My Business. And that's, by the way, another first thing I would think about is, NAP, name, address, phone, all your citations, Google My Business, all of that has to be changed as much as possible. You don't want any citations out there for your old location and your new location and like having this kind of mixed signals that you're sending Google about where you're located. So even if you need to pay a service to do that kind of citation audit and update for you, I would say it's absolutely 100% worth it. But anyway, if you did that, I would say that person has a chance of ranking here almost immediately just by changing some on-page stuff. But like you said, if you're a wedding photographer and you're switching from Atlanta to LA, you've got an uphill battle for a while. Yeah. Even if you are authoritative, it's going to take 12 to 18 months before Google's even going to probably start to flip you in most cases.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. I've been kind of consulting a wedding photographer that moved internationally, and one of the top, like, I don't know, 10-ish wedding photographers in the world, huge backlink profile. But I've been watching the local rankings in the new market and just changing the page title like you would do with a portrait photographer, somebody else, setting up a Google My Business, nothing, like page 10. And so it's, I think it's going to be a lot more work than they thought that it would be, because they thought that they could kind of glide in with the authority.
Yeah. It's interesting too, because I think that Google, as people are becoming more familiar with your brand and doing more branded search, your brand can certainly become synonymous with a city term. So around here, if you search Columbia wedding photographer, Ablaze Photography, my wedding photography brand, is one of the like auto suggestions, and people also search and things like that. It's because my brand has become synonymous with Columbia wedding photographer. And so at that point, you have to untie those relationships in Google's knowledge graph.
Yeah.
And basically, that means getting new branded search in a new location, getting new backlinks from a new location, like having your kind of whole, I'm picturing it like your brand sets in. It's kind of like a virus, right? It's going to like spread outward and kind of plant roots in a location. And you're having to not only just like cut the tree and leave all the roots, you're having to like dig up the roots and not leave a trace, and then wait for new roots to establish in a new market. It's hard. It's not just something to take lightly. And I don't want to be like over discouraging, because I know some people are, maybe they're in the military and they move every 3 or 4 years regularly.
Yeah.
It is possible. I think if that is your lifestyle, you need to realize that you're almost always going to need to be supplementing your organic traffic with other types of traffic, paid, social, word of mouth, whatever. It's going to have to be bigger for you, a bigger piece of the pie.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you're going to do some organic marketing, and sometimes you're going to get lucky. Sometimes you're going to just pick the right strategy and do the right things. You're going to have some success with it, and sometimes you're not. And that could be a part of the reality of that type of business.
I would also recommend sticking with portraits, I think, in that situation. And most, I think, do. I think it would be hard to be a wedding photographer and know that you're going to move every 2 years.
Yeah.
Obviously, you can make it work, but I really think that wedding photography in general is a place where long-lasting relationships are really beneficial, and you don't see those SERPs changing as frequently as less competitive like portrait studios. So
yeah, and as you're saying that about relationships, I think that's just such a big part of it. You've mentioned it already, but whenever you move, you've got to hit the ground hard. I think it's hard for someone who's somewhat established. If you've been doing photography for more than 5 years, think back to that first year. Like, I feel like almost every photographer starts out excited, hustling, like trying to build relationships, going to all the workshops, joining all the associations, you know, meeting people for coffee,
setting up style shoots.
Shoots, free model calls, all of those things. You do that in the beginning. And then like after a while, when you don't need to do it anymore, you kind of forget that you had to do it. And then if you're moving, you've got to get back in that mindset.
Yep.
You've got to be meeting everyone, doing all the networking.
Really chasing features.
Yep. And like, that was hard work.
Yeah. That was a wake up call for me when I moved to Portland, because I was at a point in my career where my marketing was on autopilot. And I definitely went back into that kind of startup mode where it was like, I'm doing stylized shoots where I'm losing money because I'm spending so much on flying to Portland, making sure the dresses and everything were great, developing film, all that crap. And then I would get home from those. I would edit them the next day. I would be instantly trying to get them featured on main wedding blogs. I was networking with like the bridal shops and the bridal designers and everything else in this market to just try to get as many connections as possible. And it definitely felt like I was starting over as a business.
Yeah. But I mean, those kinds of things are going to lead to those types of like local backlinks and things like that. In this case, in my mind, at least, Dylan and I sometimes differ on our thoughts on how important backlinks are. It's not even because we like actually disagree. I'm just like more skeptical, I think. But anyway, in my mind, I think about where I've had links on some wedding related websites here in Colombia. And I'm almost less concerned about the actual link from the authority perspective as I am of a brand mention on a relevant page in the industry. So for example, Riverbank Zoo is here. It's a really popular zoo. There's a botanical gardens. People get married there. If you look on their website, I'm still on it, like in the featured or recommended vendors. Nice. There's a huge catering company that owns like four or five venues, some of the best venues in the city. And I got really close with them, and I show up on their site multiple times. They mention Ablaze Photography or Corey Potter or whatever. And the fact is, if you think about these entities, Riverbank Zoo is like a defining entity in Colombia. I mean, if you think of Colombia, it's a popular day trip from all the cities around. It's just like one of the things that you would say about Colombia. And if I am showing up on a page, like my brand gets mentioned on a page that's very relevant to Colombia and weddings, I feel like that ties those entities together very heavily. I almost think if I was moving, I would even reach out and say, hey guys, thanks so much for featuring me or listing me there. I'm not going to be in the market anymore, so I want to let you know so you could update your website and take me off. I don't know. I'd be losing a backlink. Yeah. So, you know, you're losing some potential domain authority, but would it help to not have your brand associated with that entity anymore?
That one's so tough.
I could go either way on it.
Exactly. I think that's another one where I would save that to 6 months down the road if I'm not ranking and I need to do some drastic measures.
That's a good point. I think I would too. I wouldn't do it like the day I was leaving, but I would see what I could do because maybe the link was helping enough that it helps in the new market.
Yeah.
And maybe you'll see good results. But after a while, if I'm not making progress, I'd be going back and really digging up the roots.
Exactly. Should we talk a little bit about like setting up landing pages, cornerstone pages, whatever you're going to call them? Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, that's a good point. Because we've had a lot of questions lately about landing page. I'm doing air quotes.
Exactly. Nice.
People are calling them all kinds of things. You know, cornerstone page, pillar page, landing page, you know, just specialty page, whatever. For the most part, all of the people who are talking about these things are essentially talking about the same thing. Landing page is a term that gets really tricky because a lot of people do use that differently.
Yeah.
Especially a landing page in marketing is known as a page that you're going to send paid traffic to for a campaign, right? So that's why a lot of people get confused, I think, is because landing page is typically thought of as like a campaign landing page for paid ads. That's not what we're talking about here necessarily. So we're talking about essentially what we already talked about earlier, where it's like if you're going to try to rank in multiple locations, you need to set up a page for, you know, something like Yosemite and Big Sur and like other, you make your list of locations where you want to rank. Now, whenever you build out that page, the question is now, what needs to go on that page? You want to go through some of the things?
Totally. It really depends on the SERP or on kind of what you're targeting, but in general, you want to mention as many local related entities, like related landmarks, maybe like a local restaurant or venue or anything that's really like, if somebody thinks of a location, they like mention that. And so for me, like on Big Sur, I should probably mention the Big Sur Bakery, or I should mention, I think it's like Elway Falls or McElway Falls or whatever, like the famous Instagram waterfall is. Like, those are things that you just really should have on the page. For photographers, you should probably have related blog posts or related work or portfolio from the spot. It wouldn't hurt to have a map embedded. And so maybe you have a list of your favorite locations near Big Sur and you have a little Google map embedded. Outside of that, a little paragraph about the location is generally going to be helpful. And then we typically see some boilerplate that is talking about like who you are as a photographer, what your brand is about, what your services are, things like that. And then if you can, adding pricing is generally going to help anybody searching for like Big Sur wedding photography pricing or packages or something like that.
Or even if they're not putting that extra modifier pricing or packages, having a price, Google knows it's one of the main intents is finding pricing information. So having it there, or at least alluding to it, I think is pretty important for these searches these days.
Yeah. And then a few photos that have the target topic in the file name and alt text and actual subject matter of the image, I think is going to be pretty beneficial.
Yeah, you don't want to like build a Big Sur page or Yosemite. Yosemite is one of those that's like extremely, you've got the Half Dome or a few different vistas that are, if you go do a search for Yosemite, you're going to see all the same images, right?
Yes.
Google's image recognition algorithms easily pick up on whether it's Yosemite or not.
Yep.
So if you have a Yosemite target, a page targeting Yosemite, and you have like the Golden Gate Bridge in your pictures, Google's going to be like, wait. Does not compute. This doesn't match. And that's going to definitely hurt your quality score.
Yeah. So yeah, that's kind of the main points. I think bigger than that, you need to really keep this strategy in check. When I moved to Oregon, I was testing out a strategy where I created 45, I think, of these for pretty much every city in Oregon that had almost any population. And had some search volume for like the city wedding photographer term. And it was pretty much all boilerplate copy. And I would add about a paragraph of custom copy for each one. I used the same photo for each one, which is probably pretty bad. And they almost all ranked, I think 30 out of 40 ranked top three for those terms. I got almost no traffic from them. I got zero inquiries from them. And I left them up for about a year. And when I deleted them all, my traffic site-wide went up almost instantly. And so I do think they're dragging down my site to an extent.
Hmm. Well, when you say boilerplate, can you define that for people who might not know what that means?
Yeah, so it's just going to be copy that you're reusing across the entire template. So if you have 10 of these, that content is going to be more or less the same, where it says, hi, I'm Dylan M. Howell Photography. I specialize in adventure elopements. Has a paragraph about your studio and your services.
Right. And you use that same paragraph on all of these pages. So what happens? Yeah. How does Google treat that content?
I think it just ignores it for ranking purposes, more or less.
So I think one thing that's really helpful to think about here is the Google search evaluator or quality. What is it called? The quality guidelines, essentially, for the search evaluators. They go into this kind of stuff. So if you really want to dig into how Google treats boilerplate copy, that would be a great resource. But the main thing is they talk about main content versus secondary content. And I think, in my opinion, boilerplate copy is always going to fall into secondary content.
For sure.
You were saying there was something about studies or something.
I saw some inconclusive studies. I read one that actually looked like it was fairly well put together that said that the boilerplate didn't help at all. And then after that study came out, another person refuted it with a study showing that they added boilerplate to like 5,000 pages and it improved rankings across the board. So I don't know who to, I think Google just doesn't really care about stuff that they see on multiple pages.
Yeah. I think it can help. They'll use it for like really specific scenarios or queries. For example, the most common thing I see actually is a boilerplate that's at like in the footer that's like wedding photographer serving blah 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 blah, and it'll like list 20 different cities.
Yeah.
And then you'll look and see in Search Console, people are searching for like directions from one city to another.
Yeah.
So they'll say like Columbia to Greenville. And that'll be a term that'll show up for that page because it won't be two big cities like that. It'll be two small cities that like there's no other documents that really match it. And Google's like, well, this page mentions both of those cities, so I guess we'll show it here.
Yeah.
Anyway, like you can tell that Google definitely does consider the boilerplate copy for really specific queries. But I would say for like the main Like if you're trying to rank for Portland elopement photographer, you're not going to do it with boilerplate copy alone. You're going to need some unique content on the page that you're trying to rank for that term that is relevant for Portland elopements.
Totally.
How much is debatable. I mean, yeah. We've seen some cases here recently where people who have lots of authority can put up one paragraph, maybe even less. Sometimes a couple of sentences and a title are enough to like get them ranking for those terms that are not extremely, or even ones that are extremely competitive, something like Seattle wedding photographer, for example. Yeah. You know, we've seen internal pages that are not very thorough be able to rank there. So
that's wild. Yeah. I mean, I think backlinks matter.
Yeah. I wish they weren't such a like hard thing to measure, because like there's so many things going on and it's so unpredictable. Like there's cases where it's like seems so clear that they matter. And then there's other cases where it's like, why is this person with significant authority and decent relevance not ranking better than this person who's like brand new?
For sure.
It's wild. I mean, maybe Google's just trying to throw people off.
Yeah.
I don't think it's quite that simple, but it's hard.
Totally.
Anyway.
Do you think we covered the multiple locations topic pretty well?
I think so. I'm sure there's still going to be a lot of questions.
Yeah. If anybody has questions, and I'm sure this topic will spur more questions, definitely join Beal Your Photos Facebook group or leave a comment on this podcast page. And we read those reply.
And yeah, just go to fuelyourphotos.com/podcast. And this is episode 12.
12. Yep. Perfect. Well, this was great. I'm glad we're back to the podcasting effort. It's been super fun to fire this back up.
Yeah. Cool. All right. We'll see you next episode.